Why are past lives so aggressively spilling into this lifetime? It hardly seems fair that we're burdened with the baggage of the past as we face navigating the choppy waters of our present life. What are the clues and hints that the past is trying to bring to our attention, and how do we deal with that knowledge? According to our guest, Karen Kubico, the answers may stretch far beyond this lifetime. A certified hypnotherapist trained by Dr. Brian Weiss and author of Making True Love, Healing Relationship Patterns Through Past Life Regression, Karen helps people uncover repeating cycles that begin lifetimes ago and finally break free. Tonight, we're going to explore how past lives shape our present, how karma teaches us through love instead of punishment, and how healing the past may be the key to finding your life now. This is Past Life Aggression, Hour 2 of the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader. Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, we have Karen Kubico. All right, Karen, we've talked about death and leading up to it and that bridging gap between life and death. Now we're discussing our past lives. And this is something I've always had a fascination with. I love good stories that come out when you're like, man, I don't understand how somebody could know all this if they weren't that other person, if they weren't walking in those shoes. Does everybody for certain have past lives, or do some of us come and go in one round?
I have not met somebody who has not had a past lifetime, Dave.
Okay.
So I can't answer that. You know, the point of having a lifetime is, you know, you're trying to learn something, right? And really, and what the other side keep telling me, in reality, we're a spiritual being. And once in a while, we have a human life. This is one place for us to go learn and understand beyond the land of love, which is what I call the heaven space where we normally reside and go to in our dreams and all that type of thing. But it is more of a recognition that we're here to learn how to do whatever it is that we set out to do. We chose to go through some of the hardships that we've gone through. We've chose to even find love, for example. That could be a life lesson, hopefully, that is for most people, right? And so it's not always about trauma and drama. It can be about learning how to stand up for yourself, learning how to set boundaries, you know, use your voice, heal your throat chakra. You know, it's so much more to just having this human experience. And sometimes it takes more than one life to get it because, you know.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, though. You know, many people claim to have lived as many as 200 or 300 previous lifetimes, which if you look at the history of our country and our world, you know, obviously 200, 300 sounds insane to most of us, but you know, we're talking of a span of millions of years and realizing that people have been in existence that we're aware of for at least a million years. And every cycle, you know, if you figure a generational cycle, maybe 20 years, especially back in the day when there was no cure for the common cold and diseases and it would wipe us out, it would give you an idea of how it could be repeated over and over. But my big bone of contention has always been, when we carry this baggage forward into this lifetime, Karen, obviously we've lived lives, multiple lives, have learned lessons. Why are we not gifted that knowledge every evolution, every step we take further? I mean, it's like a sequel, really. Yeah. And we know what happened in the prequel and in the previous cycle. Why do we have to come in and relearn? It seems like such a waste of time. Why not just be born back in and get a chance to learn new lessons?
Oh, heavy questions, Dave. I love it. So let's see. I feel like, you know, I've asked this question of my spirit guides before because I've had people ask me this question. It's exasperating, especially if they've had multiple abusive relationships or they've gone back into a lifetime where it was abusive. Like, what's the sense? You know, so it's super annoying because why are we going through all this? Well, it's learning for that particular example, for example, it's because that person was learning how to finally have a say, set a boundary, and maybe it took her four lifetimes to get how to overcome that. And so on a soul level, I kind of like liken it to running a marathon. You get to the end of it and you're like, oh my God, that was sucked so bad. I'm so tired. I don't think I want to do it again. And then you're like, you're walking away. Yeah, I could probably do that again. You go on the other side and you're like, man, that sucked. I had to go through all this stuff. You get on the other side and you're like, ah, I could try that again. You know, and you're, it's a funny thing.
So it's like childbirth for women, something that I would look at and go, once, one and done. There's nothing I'd ever want to do to have to do that again. And it seems like women have been granted the gift of forgetfulness because, you know, sure, a month or two afterwards, yeah, I'd have another baby. And I'm thinking,
did you forget
certain foods? If it affects my stomach, I can't imagine if having something push out of my body that's the size of a bowling ball. Right. So, you know, I mean, to me, it's just so weird. But I guess you're right. Maybe there's an element to these memories that were.
My mom called it a good pain.
Okay. All right.
But it's true. Like you get on the other side, you forget you went through all the garbage that we go through down here on this earth plane, and you're talking to council member spirit guides and they're like, are you sure you really want to take another lifetime opportunity and to work on these things that you want to work on, that type of thing? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm sure I can do this. I can get this time.
How do we know heaven isn't just some kind of like sadistic recruitment center? Because I pass away and I'm standing before the angel Karen, I think I'd like to go back in life. Well, you know, Dave, we do have a special. If you go back and agree to be molested and set on fire, and then you're like getting all the bonus points as the recruiter because you're talking me into the crappiest new lifestyle. I mean, because I can't fathom a reality where I go to the other side and say, yeah, I'm going to go back. And give me pain, abuse, rejection, and loneliness and depression. Oh, gosh. I'll take all of the left side of the menu, right?
All the heavy stuff, Dave.
It seems ridiculous that we would do that. I mean, we even in the ethereal form that we're like, last life kind of sucked, but I think I can do it. I can hit all those points better this time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and it's funny because when you look at it from the spiritual aspect, okay, like even if someone has been molested in some kind of way, I mean, that's a horrible thing for anyone to go through.
Right.
But, you know, when someone overcomes that trauma, then they can help other people get through it too. And that might have been why they chose to go through it to begin with. It's not obvious when you're going through it, but you have learned how to forgive. Hopefully you have learned how to overcome that so much so that you can help other people work through that and not be all squeamish having the conversation. It's almost like when you watch the news, maybe not right now, but maybe when you watch the news and you see people overcoming like trauma with like a fire or something like that. And you see them overcoming, you know, people coming together and all that type of thing. It's almost like they're reminding us of how to overcome traumas and things like that.
When we do come back, though, let's talk about past life regressions, dipping our toe into those pools of the past. Is that always a good idea? If we do that and I reawaken or reopen a much stronger personality that lived in the past, let's say I was Adolf Hitler two lifetimes ago. Isn't there a chance that if there's a stronger personality and I'm re-inviting it back to communicate that it might have some sway over my future and take over? We'll talk about it next on the Paranormal 360. All right, Karen, again, more big questions in little time frames. I love this. It's like Jeopardy in reverse, right? So if I start going back and revisiting past lives, and let's say I stumble upon a good life, I used Hitler in the past, but let's say it turns out I was, you know, one of the Rockefellers. Opening that Pandora's box, does that possibly cause a cascading effect into this lifetime that I'm maybe not just taking the good parts that I learned and the memories there, but that personality steps forward and tries to take control of the vessel again?
Well, so think about it like this, Dave. You're all of it. You are all those lifetimes. And so when I am tuning into somebody, let's say, for example, they want to know their life lesson or soul lesson, what are they trying to overcome or learn, Or sometimes people come and ask me, especially if they're a younger person, they ask about their career. So I can look back over their lifetimes and see that they're really good at music, they were really good at being an engineer, or they were really good at math or whatever, or research or something like that. And they're like, oh my gosh, I really love all that right now. And so isn't that interesting? Because that those lifetimes have brought forward those skill sets in a sense. With the Hitler stuff, I mean, that's a really hardcore subject, but I mean, that aside,
and for listeners who may have just tuned in, one of my questions was, what if, you know, in a past lifetime, two lifetimes ago, I was Adolf Hitler. If I start monkeying around with my timelines and going back to revisit, and you unleash something that dark in your psyche, can it possibly affect or try to take you over?
Yeah, I mean, since you're the same spiritual being, you're not like, if you think of past lifetimes as completely different entities, it's not. It's like you are remembering that past lifetime and you're having their thoughts and understandings. Like, I've been a guy in other lifetimes, and it's funny to me because, like, I'm hearing what I can only assume is what normal guy thoughts are about women or whatever. And I had a past lifetime, and I have it in my other book here, and Life is Just Another Class. And it is interesting because I was thinking all those thoughts of, I guess the word misogynist kind of way of being a guy and that kind of way. And I was not nice. I was not nice. It was hard, hard, hard for me to remember that past lifetime. And I did a lot of forgiveness work. I was supposed to learn the lesson of charity, and I did not. So when I'm on the other side, I immediately went back into another lifetime so that I could learn that lesson to help be very charitable and helpful and kind. It's almost like you find yourself on the opposite side of that spectrum. It's not, I'd like to tell people it's not always tit for tat with karma, but sometimes if you're a total jerk, you're going to have a total jerk being mean to you in another lifetime. So you kind of like get that in a sense. Does that make sense?
To a degree. Like I said, there's no absolutes in this, right? It's trying to understand. But I would think that, again, the problem that sits uncomfortably with me with the concept of these soul contracts and choosing what we go towards for the next realm. If we believe in a God, if we believe in this presence, that oversees everything, why would a God allow a soul to come back and go, you know what, I'd like to persecute an entire population of people and end up having millions of them murdered under my reign? I would think that, you know, I'm just saying this as a humble guy who runs a small business, but if I get Karen's resume here and Karen, okay, it says that you've done this in past lives, that's great. It says in this life, you'd like to persecute an entire religion and burn them to the ground. I think we're going to pass, Karen, but good luck in your future endeavors. Why would goodness allow that kind of darkness to choose that path?
Man, I mean, it's hard, right? Because if you're coming from the perspective that we are a spiritual being, a soul, and that we've come here into this earth experience once in a while. So the reason they're telling me that the reason that we normally come here to have all these lifetimes is so that we can learn something. Because when you're in the heaven space, I always call it the land of love, Dave, because it's instant manifestation. People are unconditionally loving. It's telepathic communication. I mean, you have your full psychic faculties available to you in a real sense. And it is very different from here. So on this earth plane, we can learn how to experience so much stuff. And when there is like a traumatic thing happening, like I had some very sad situations of people come to me where their child has committed suicide, overdose, that type of thing. What were they trying to learn? Right? Why did that person do that? Why did these bad things happen? That type of thing. But the for one example of the parent that came to me about this, she had started a very specific nonprofit thing to help kids through depression. She had probably not would have contemplated doing that had her son not chosen to be that willing participant in her experience in this lifetime to inspire her to do that.
I get that element. I mean, it's like you've got John Walsh, right? He took the ultimate tragedy of losing a son, and instead of folding in on himself and living behind a wall of hatred and resentment, he made it his life's duty to try to stop as many people as he could from doing that to anybody else's children.
Right.
And he stepped into that role. And when people say, yeah, what good could possibly come from the death of this child, in the short and in the immediacy of it, not much. But when you look at the bigger scope of it and the what John Walsh and the people that have followed and been friends with John Walsh, and now his son, I guess, is taking over the America's Most Wanted and is going to carry on that mantle going forward.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Really shows a remarkable aspect of who we are and
you
what we're
capable. See the inspiration, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Because even when a tragedy happened, the inspiration happened. And you mentioned before, you know, when there's a tragedy of a lot of people passing, you know, there's so many we could pick from to have as an example. Let's just, in general, when a big group of people pass, what normally happens, sometimes globally, we all start coming together again, supporting each other, showing, you know, love and care for each other, you know, and sometimes that's the reason.
Karen Kubico is our guest this evening, and we've got a couple more segments together here as we continue to talk about past lives, reincarnation. She's also the author of the book, Making True Love, Healing Relationship Patterns Through Past Life Regression. We'll have a link for that on today's program guide. So for those of you listening, make sure that you go check those program guides, all the show notes. We do give you access to their websites, if there is one, access to the books that we mentioned on the show. And we'd love for you to support the people that take the time to write these books and share their wisdom. And as I always like to remind you, don't just buy the book. Don't just read the book. Take 10 seconds of your life to rate and review the book on places like Amazon and Goodreads, because that goes a very far way in helping our authors and teachers get a bigger and bigger audience. It puts it in front of more and more people. And let's spread the good word. Let's spread the things that we're sharing on the show and the wisdom and the insights by letting others know how we appreciate the work they've done. And more importantly, by letting others find this work for themselves. When we come back, we will continue this discussion about the past lives. And I want to start talking about what it was like for you, Karen, the first time you actually faced a past life. What was that realization like? And now is it just every time you sneeze, you remember another past life? Do we get to that point in this journey as well? We'll talk about that and more. Stay tuned. I'm Dave Schrader, your host on the journey into the strange and the supernatural right here on Paranormal 360. Karen Kubico, our guest this evening, and you do past life regressions. You help people. You're a certified hypnotherapist. Talk us through your first regression into a past life, and what was that like for you? How hard or easy was it for you to accept that it's cool to have that concept in your head and in your heart? It's cool to have that belief that maybe we've been here before, but when you come face to face with that, what's that really like?
Well, I was inspired, Dave, because I read a book about children's past lives, and the woman who wrote the book, Carol Bowman, had had an experience where she was very sick and had a breathing issue repetitively every fall. And so she remembered two past lifetimes and never had an issue again. So I was like, I had asthma at the time. If she can do it, I can do it. That's my thought process. So I looked into how to go about doing it. I listened to a guided meditation for a solid month before anything came through. And first of all, you have to get out of your head. You have to trust whatever you're getting. And I talk about that in depth on my YouTube channel on how to go about doing that. But it is the first experience I had was me being that jerk guy. And I remembered straight away I was coughing. I had this pitiful fire. I knew that my head wasn't shaved, and I was used to that. There was sweat dripping down my face because I had a fever, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm a guy." That was my first memory. That's it. Just me trying to have this pitiful fire going and knowing that I was having some kind of sickness going on. After that experience, then I started having more little snippets of all these other past lifetimes. And then eventually I went to see a past life regression person here locally in Pittsburgh, and they helped me remember a lot of different past lifetimes at that moment, where I went more in detail into that past lifetime, into a lifetime that was here in Pennsylvania and in Johnstown, and into another couple past lifetimes. I'd have to go recollect exactly which ones came through at that point. But it is, that was a long time ago.
So you've had multiple lifetimes in Pennsylvania?
I guess I'd have to write it down. Yeah, I've had several, not a ton. I've had several. I mean,
what's God trying to tell you that you're doing wrong, Karen? That you can't get out of Pennsylvania.
Well, or maybe I like Pennsylvania, Dave. Come on.
I know. It's I've got my bio dad and siblings all live in Pennsylvania. I kid, kind of. But all right. So you have that recognition of this past life and the tragedy that befell your body when you passed away. Right. That moment. There are times I come back from a dream that is so vivid and real of the passing of a loved one who's not dead and, you know, is here. You know, we all have that traumatic nightmare of one of our children passing. Sure. I came out of the nightmare still physically and emotionally shaken for the entire day, although I knew my son was still very much alive. I could see him. I held him. I hugged him close. And I was fine, but this grieving was so deep within me that do you think that I was having kind of a flashback to a past life? Was I having a connection with a multiple universe version of myself? What all is taking place in those moments? And I understand, again, this is simply your opinion, but as somebody who spent a good portion of her life learning and training and being part of this, what's your insights to a story like that?
Well, it could be both, Dave. The first inclination I had was that was an alternate timeline choice that he could have passed at that moment. Because honestly, we pick, and through doing past life regression, I learned all this by way of talking with some of my spirit guides and asking a lot of questions of them. We pick multiple exit points. And so an exit point is your death day or a near death day. And so we have picked out usually multiple times throughout our life that if we're ready to go on some subconscious level, it's our time to leave and we choose to pass. And so it's, you might have had that dream because that was one of his potential death moments. And so that is that's an exit point potential. Like it could have happened. But it also was a choice. And so like, if you know anything about multiple timelines or the multiverse or however you want to refer to that, when you make a big deal choice, that's when your timeline can split. It's kind of a convoluted thing. It's a choice, right?
Right.
Even on the other side, when I visit the Akashic Records place, which is like the Hall of Records, it's all your life, your soul's history. Sometimes my spirit guides have shown me, if you had made this choice, this would have happened. And that is a different choice.
Oh, there's hell. Seriously, do you think that's a part of it? Sometimes we stand on that precipice of a choice, and maybe hell is reviewing what would have happened had we been in that moment and chosen differently. Maybe that's our hell. Maybe that's why we should be more aware and in the moment and making a cognizant choice. Going back was, you go in and visit this, you see this traumatic death. When you come back out, do you still hold part of that in you? Do you still feel that pain, the loss, the fear of letting go?
I have to say, when I remembered a particular past lifetime, I passed and recognized, they can't kill me. I'm still here. Because I'm in a future lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. That was very freeing, Dave, because I felt like I almost invincible kind of vibe. You know what I mean? Like I could just do whatever and I don't care what people say, and which I'm kind of doing because I grew up Catholic and this is totally against that, you know, multiple lifetimes. What? And so it's definitely freeing. In a couple ways. One, that I mean, there's a lot of conversations we can have on that one topic, but like one that you can recognize that even if you had a lifetime where the ending wasn't so fantastic, and those people might have killed you for being a metaphysical teacher, in a sense, you're here again doing it again. I'm here again doing it again. They can't kill me. I'm still teaching it. Too bad. It's like nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You know what I mean? But but as far as the other point that also is very obvious that people have is that they lose their fear of dying because they know they're okay. They've been here before. And in a very real sense, they've been here before and they are not afraid of what happens next. I mean, there's no fear in that. It's more of fear of leaving people behind, unfinished business, that kind of thing. You know, especially if you're like more of a type A, you like to take care of everything. God forbid your to-do list isn't done. You know what I mean? That type of thing. That might be a fear of why you don't want to pass or you hold on before passing. But you have that choice over time to pass at those exit points.
Can we, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. Can we, if I'm going to come see you as my clinical hypnotherapist,
sure.
If I say, listen, Karen, I'm at a point in my life where I've got some major decisions regarding A, B, and C.
Okay.
Can you take me back to points in past lives where I was also in this situation and help me get a better understanding of how to deal with these things, how to have better foresight? Can we task ourselves by revisiting past lives? I guess that's the way the question's being posed. Again, if you're interested in more of what Karen does and how she works and getting her book, we do have a link for Karen on today's program guide, as we do on every episode. We try to promote and let these amazing guests get a chance to be seen and heard by a bigger audience. So check it out. I'm Dave Schrader. This is the Paranormal 360. Okay, Karen, now that I've just thrown you a softball question before the break, if you as my clinical hypnotherapist take me back, can I ask for a specific insight? Can I ask to be taken to moments that will mirror the moments I'm in now to help me have a clearer mind and help me maybe in having better foresight?
Well, you could do that, Dave. So let's say, for example, you were trying to make a decision and the decision is, I want to go in front of this crowd and speak to 1,000 people. In this current lifetime, you're like, hard pass. I'm afraid to do that. All right. But I might take you to a past lifetime if you've had one where you can experience a life where you might have been very confident, spoke very eloquently, had a lot of confidence in front of people and speaking, and help to remove that fear of communication to large crowds. Because maybe in another lifetime, you've been killed for speaking out in front of a large crowd. And so you're releasing that fear of it. So that's the example. But alternatively, interestingly, when you are in a past life regression state, you can go. Once you go into a death scene or around that time, you can start to have direct one-on-one conversations with your spirit guide or some higher dimensional being. Honestly, I try to strive to do this with every person that I regress, because that's the point where you can just say, spirit guide, I'll just call him Joe for lack of an easier name. Joe, can you tell Dave or help Dave understand he's making this decision right now? What would be his benefit and like, or not benefit for making this choice versus that choice, and see what they happen to say to you? And there's a lot of interaction that you might get a higher dimensional understanding of, well, it's better if you do this one thing because that's going to help you with this throat chakra or this confidence thing or something along those lines, versus if you take the other path, then that is leading you down the wrong path. Where if you go this direction, then it might take you to meet 10 other people that help excel your own personal career set. It just really is like a higher dimensional knowledge understanding, because I personally have done this myself with my spirit guide team, and I've helped people do this, asking all kinds of questions career-wise specifically, and otherwise, hey, what's the next step? What's the next thing I need to pay attention for? Those type of things. And it helps answer those quandaries that you have in this current lifetime. Which path do I need to take? Does that help, Dave? I mean, there's two ways of getting there. One, by healing what's holding you back from taking the bigger step where you might be afraid. And the other one is just asking your guide directly, hey, what should I do?
Karen is also the author of the book, Making True Love, Healing Relationship Patterns Through Past Life Regression. I want to talk about that before we say our goodbyes tonight. When you put together a book like this, right, are you giving people examples on how they can start understanding past lives, how it's affected and impacted them, and what they can do to make sure that they stop those cycles in this lifetime?
So there are 11 different relationship patterns in that book, Making True Love. And it really is really eye-opening, because when I have people, for example, go back into a past lifetime because they have a pattern of being type A, let's say, for example, or a perfectionist of some kind, where they're always trying to take care of, do everything right, and do all this extra stuff. Often they go to a past lifetime where they're a burden, Dave. And so in this current lifetime, they've become this type A person because they're proving endlessly to their spouse, to their family, to their people they work for, they are not a burden. They're deserving of that love and affection, that paycheck, whatever. Because in a past lifetime, they were considered a burden, even might have been called a burden, that type of thing. And so I try to explain in the best way I can with examples on here are some examples of some patterns that you can find as a relationship that's holding you back from truly loving yourself. Really, that's what that book is about, to release that and to find some kind of root cause that might not be obvious. Because feeling like you're a burden is not obvious when you're a type A personality, right?
Right.
And so when you figure that out, then I have a whole lot in there about how to do some personal healing. I have a lot in there that are signs of if you're in an abusive situation, chapter 18 is devoted to that. And then a whole list of ways you can reframe, I'm not good enough, I'm a burden, with positive affirmations or a mantra. I am good enough. I am worthy. Those type of things to replace that subconscious role of whatever is holding you back with something that's a positive spin on it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I like that. And it shows, listen, you can spend tens of thousands of dollars going through therapy to maybe never get to the real root problem of what's going on, because you're so focused on the now and the lifetime that you have. And I mean, none of us have had a perfect life. So each one of us could find things that are nitpicking, but maybe sometimes the waves that are crashing down around you are things that you're holding from past lives. So here's a chance to get a book, $15-$20, where you can do the therapy, understand things a little bit more about yourself, about how life and the afterlife works, and what you can do to start to tackle these problems. I always recommend people, listen, you've tried it your way for years. And if it is not working, maybe it's time to start dipping into more of the metaphysical. Don't be afraid of that word. Don't think of the woo-woo of that word, but the concept that healing does begin within, and we have to make 100%. Those first steps.
Yeah. No one can love you only as much as you love yourself, Dave.
As we're wrapping up here, what's the one thing above all you really hope people can get from your teachings and your book?
Oh, the one thing. Oh my. I would say the one thing, as much as I talk about past life stuff, trust in your intuition, Dave. Okay. 100%. The more that you trust your intuition, the more you are guided on your right path in this lifetime. If you dismiss that gut feeling, that sickness in your stomach, and you do it anyways, you're not trusting your intuition, and you're going down the wrong path, and you'll end up doing it again.
All right. We'll take the lesson. Karen, put it out in a book form. You can learn it. Karen, thank you for coming on and spending some time with us this
evening. Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate getting the opportunity to hear from somebody about these type of topics and giving us another insight. Like, if pain can echo through lifetimes, so can love. And by facing our old stories, we free our souls to write better ones, stories of trust, of joy, and of true connection. And maybe the greatest act of courage isn't remembering who you were, but forgiving who you were, so you can love who you are. So I hope the darkness of this world is just a little brighter with the information we share here each week. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and thank you for joining me on the Paranormal 360.